If you would, take your Bibles tonight and go to the book of Ephesians. We'll be in our reading in chapter number 6, Ephesians 6, and verse number 10. Ephesians 6 and verse number 10, and I feel led of the Lord very clearly to come to this passage of Scripture, a truth that the Lord's used in my life in a mighty way, and something I want to share with you tonight, something I've used in Sunday school a lot, and I've preached it in different places here and there. But I feel led of God to share with you this passage of Scripture tonight, and we're asking God to help us. The Bible says in verse number 10 of Ephesians chapter number 6, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." I only see a recurring word and thought here in these verses. In verse number 11, the Bible says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Again, in verse 13, "Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." There's an emphasis in this passage of Scripture on standing. And the commission to us is to put on the whole armor of God, that you're able to stand against the wiles of the devil, and stand for the glory of God. You know, we're commissioned to stand up for Jesus. Are you a standing Christian? Something that I want to bring to our attention, I want to be reminded of, is that we have the privilege to stand for God and His glory. And stand and be counted, stand and be useful, stand and be a tool in the hand of God, standing for Christ. I got saved when I was just a child, and I'm thankful for that. I was born again, old things passed away, all things become new. I became a child of God. When I got saved, I inherited at that moment everlasting life. I became a person with everlasting life. I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm rejoicing that I'm saved. I'm resting in the fact that I'm saved. You know what? The devil cannot rob me of the work that Jesus has done in my heart. He can't condemn my soul. He can't send me to hell. He has no authority over my soul. There's nothing he can do to prevent me or keep me from going to heaven when I die. And so, something we need to take very careful note of: if the devil cannot condemn you to hell, what does he want to do? He wants to keep you from being effective. He wants to prevent you from being used for God and His glory. And in this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, he says, "I want you to know something. The devil wants to cause you to no longer stand." Posture of a Christian should be that of standing for what's right, standing for truth, standing to be counted, standing in active service to King Jesus, standing. Are you able to stand? That's our message tonight. Able to stand. Stand. The things that we see here in this passage of Scripture are rather simple. The Bible says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." If we're going to stand for the Lord, the first thing that we need to do is we need to stand strong in the Lord. Stand strong in the Lord. I remember the first time that the Lord really showed me what he was saying in this passage of Scripture. It's nothing, it's not rocket science. It's something simple enough for me to understand. But the Bible says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." I thought about that. Be strong in the Lord. What does that mean? I love the term Lord. And there's an emphasis here, and it's very specific, that we are to be strong in the Lord. That means that something that we have a strength in is the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives. What's it mean if you have a Lord? A Lord is someone who has control. A Lord is someone who has authority in your life. I allow certain folks to have a certain amount of lordship in my life because I want to be a servant to them. And the Bible says that God is our Lord. Now the Scripture says if you're going to be able to stand, the first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to stand strong in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. That means that one of your strengths is the fact that Jesus is your Lord. The proper name, I use this illustration occasionally, I make no apology. But the proper title for Jesus is this: Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's who he is. His title's very specific and has a great purpose. Jesus is his earthly name. I love the name Jesus. I love to sing. I remember when I was a child, I was taught that little chorus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. And there's untelling times as a child, as a teenager, as an adult, that I've sang the words of that song with an emphasis on the name of Christ, Jesus, Jesus. And it's brought me great comfort. Jesus was Christ's earthly name. When he was born, thou shalt call his name Jesus. It literally means Jehovah's salvation. It's a special name, but do you know Jesus was quite a common name in those days? Jesus of Nazareth, they called him Jesus of Nazareth because there were other Jesus around there. My mom talks about the name Cody. She remember when she named me Cody when I was born. It didn't seem like there was very many Codys, but then you start to notice that there are more Codys, and there's lots of Codys now. I don't think I'm the original Cody. It's kind of like, have you ever noticed when you get a car, like a specific car, for the first time you notice there's those cars are everywhere. You hadn't ever seen one before. Then all of a sudden, the car you just bought, they're everywhere. I think that's what happened to my mom. Cody. Cody's my name. That's my given name. Did you know that my name is Lee Cody? If you ever see a phone number, it looks like my number begins with 828. It's from North Carolina. I just hate to get rid of a number that so many people have had for so long. So I've got an 828 number. Number one, when I call somebody, they think that I'm selling them an extended car warranty. It happens. And then, that's strike one. My number's 828. Strike two, who in the world is Lee Cody? Did y'all know that my name's Lee Cody? That's my name. My first name's Lee. My second name's Cody. I'm one of those poor, pitiful children who's been called by their middle name. I sit in the doctor's office. They say, Lee, Lee, and I just sit there like a knot on a log. And then when I finally realize they're calling me, I know they're suspicious. This guy has stolen someone's identity. That's what they think. There's no doubt. I said all that foolishness to say this. Jesus, the name Jesus was his earthly given name. Jesus. It's a wonderful name. It's a beautiful name. And it has such perfect connotations in our hearts. But that was his name. When we meet up with Jesus, we see his name as Jesus. That identifies him as the Jesus that was born to Mary. Jesus who was fathered as a father figure by Joseph, who was raised up in a carpenter's shop. Jesus, that's his name. But we move from Jesus to Christ. By the way, do you know that the whole world believes in Jesus of Nazareth? The whole world. Everybody believes in Jesus. You say, you sure, preacher? Absolutely. What year is it? 2021. What year is it in China? Communist China. It is the year 2021. What year is it in Japan? What year is it in Russia? 2021. A.D. 2021. That means in the year of our Lord. Lord who? Jesus. Folks, I want you to know something. Everybody in the whole world sets their clocks and plans their lives around this person, Jesus. The whole world believes in Jesus. He made a pretty big splash. But just because they believe that he existed, just because they believe that he accomplished something great, just because they set their dates by his name and his life, does not mean that they're saved. Because Jesus is the first part of his title. The second part of his title is Jesus Christ. He's the Christ. What's it mean to be the Christ? The word Christ and Messiah can be used somewhat interchangeably. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the one that God prepared. Jesus is the virgin-born Son of God. Jesus Christ is the God-man. Jesus Christ is the only person that could possibly go to the cross and pay for our sins. Jesus Christ, he was prophesied all through the Bible. He was pictured in the tabernacle. He's pictured in the sacrifices. He was pictured when Moses held that rod up in the wilderness with a serpent on it. He was pictured all through the Old Testament. He was Jesus the Christ. He was born in Bethlehem like God said he would be. He's the Christ. Jesus Christ. By the way, you have to believe that he's the Christ in order to have everlasting life. He's the Christ. Now, the whole world believes in Jesus, but I want you to know there's a great smaller number of people who believe him to be the Christ. I realized he was the Christ. As the result of that, I put my trust in Christ Jesus for my soul's salvation. I'm glad I got saved. But then the third part of his name is something that all of us need to consistently deal with on a regular basis. The fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe that it's possible that Jesus can be your Savior, but not your Lord. I believe there comes times in your life where you rebel against him. There's times in your lives when you do not allow him to dictate to you your schedule and you do not include him in your plans and your life, and therefore Jesus is no longer your Lord. He's your Savior. He's your Father. He's your patient Father, but you do not allow him to be your Lord. And all of us on a consistent, regular basis should submit to the fact that Jesus is Lord. If Jesus is Lord of your life, guess what happens? You wake up in the morning. Jesus, here I am, your servant. What can I do for you today? If Jesus is your Lord, when you're tempted to sin, you're reminded that you could not do that or say that or partake in that because Jesus is your Lord and you don't want to malign the name of your master. If Jesus is your Lord, it changes everything. It'll change your routine. It'll change your emphasis. It'll change your attitude. As a matter of fact, if you make Jesus the Lord of your life, it'll make everything better. Jesus is Lord. And so the Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Make the Lordship of Jesus Christ a strength in your life. Are you strong in the Lord? Do you live aware of the fact that you've been bought with a price and Jesus is your master? Do you live in light of the fact that God has given you everything that you have and you should therefore in return be willing to give it to him and use it for his glory? Are you strong in the Lord? Is that a strength of your life? Are you strong in the Lord? The Bible commands us and says, be strong in the Lord. If you're going to stand, the Bible makes it clear that if we're going to stand, we're going to have to start by being strong in the Lord. You see what happens when we make ourselves the Lord of our lives, when we allow our flesh to sit on the throne of our hearts, when we allow our wills and our desires to take the place of God's will and God's desire, and we become number one instead of Christ being number one in our hearts, guess what happens? We make ourselves weak. We make ourselves a target for the adversary, the devil. And the Bible teaches we should stand strong in the Lord. Make it a strength. Make it a strength in your life. Make it a strength in your daily routine that Jesus is your Lord. When's the last time you asked God to lead you? Lord, I'm your servant. Lead me. When's the last time you asked the Lord to direct you? When's the last time you asked the Lord to correct you? I was reading Psalm 139 this morning. I love it. David's cry and prayer was, "Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Try me, know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me." I switched the heart and thoughts. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." I'll just have you know something. Someone that prays a prayer like that is someone who is strong in the Lord. What did David want? He says, "I don't want anything but to please my master. He's my Lord." Make Jesus the Lord of your life and you'll be able to stand. Number one, stand strong in the Lord. Number two, stand against the devil. Just remember, the devil wants to cause you to be sidelined. He doesn't want you to be effective. Stand against the devil. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. By the way, when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you do not operate in your own strength. You operate in the power of His might. Brother David's song was perfectly appropriate. His strength is perfect when mine is gone. You make Jesus the Lord of your life, you operate in His power. Verse 11, the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The second thing I want to bring to your attention, this is just a two-point message. The first thing is we should stand strong in the Lord. The second thing is we should stand against the devil. You see the emphasis here? We're to put on the whole armor of God. Why? So that we can stand, really stand. What for? What against? Against the wiles of the devil. We're to stand against the devil. And the Bible continues. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. How are we to stand? Against the wiles of the devil. I like this idea of a wile. A wile is a military strategy. A wile is a notion or an idea how you can get victory over your enemy. So if you were a military leader and you had an enemy and you would figure out what is my enemy's weaknesses, you make a plan of attack so that you can defeat your enemy, that would be a wile. And so the devil understands us and knows us. He knows the things that tempt us. And so he has a wile against us. But the Bible highlights the number one wile that we all deal with. The number one wile that we all deal with is that we forget who we are standing against. How many of you ever felt the pressure of opposition? It feels like there's a push against you. There's a push against your effort to do what's right. There's a push against what you believe to be true and right. There's a push to against what's right. Sometimes, and most of the time, we identify the push with other people. You know what we like to do? It is in our nature to blame our problems on other people. Oh, how many times have I talked to teenagers that felt like their problem was their parents? And sometimes we have legitimate reasons. We talk to kids who have parents who are on drugs, parents who are unfaithful, parents who do not provide, parents who've made the home life terrible. We talk to children and they excuse their behavior. They excuse the fact that they're not standing up for Jesus. They excuse the fact that they're irresponsible. They excuse their sin by saying, well, I wouldn't be this way if it wasn't for my parents. Often we have adults that have the same notion. Unfortunately, a lot of this carries over into adulthood. I've talked to men in their 70s and 80s who are still blaming their dead fathers for their failures in life. Folks, that's not how God intends us to live. Husbands blame their wives. Wives blame their husbands. Children blame their parents. Employees and blame their employers. Employers blame their employees. As a matter of fact, this is in the context of Scripture. I want you to see what the Bible's dealing with. The Bible's dealing with relationships with people. You can back up in chapter number 5 and verse number 21. This is such a famous passage of Scripture in regards to marriage. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Verse number 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Verse number 1 of chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Verse number 4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Verse number 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. Masters, verse number 9, masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatenings, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. And then we roll right into our text, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Stand against, verse number 11, stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. What does the Apostle Paul want us to know? What does God in His Word want us to know? We should not blame other people for our failure to stand. We should not allow some relationship issue to cause us not to be used for the glory of God. And if you've caught yourself and you've gotten to this place where you won't serve Jesus because of something they did, I don't care how bad it is or how bad it may seem, if you won't allow yourself to serve God because of something they did, you're in the wrong. If you want to, how you can't have victory in your Christian life because of something that someone said or someone else, you are being attacked not by that person primarily, but by the devil himself, and you need to stand against the wiles of the devil. Which foe is easier to defeat? Some person that's out to get you or the devil? Well, I believe that the devil's easier to defeat. The Bible says, resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. The Bible gives us really simple instructions as to how to stand for Jesus. We just got to remember that I can't be distracted with the wile of the devil. The devil wants you to hate people. The devil wants you to be upset with people. The devil wants you to constantly think that folks are out to get you. The devil wants to ruin your relationships, especially the ones that are closest to home. Why? Because he knows if he drives a wedge between a husband and a wife, he can set two Christians on the sideline. He knows that if he can drive a wedge between a son and a father, a child and a mother, church members, he knows if he can drive a wedge in there, he can cause not only one or two, but masses of Christians to be unable to stand up and be used for God and His glory. I just want to remind you of something. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. If you're not standing for Jesus, it's not their fault. If you're not being used for the glory of God, it's not their fault. You have fallen into the trap of the devil. And his commission to us is to stand against, God's commission to us is to stand against the devil. put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers, the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. My question to you tonight is this: are you standing up for Jesus? Or have you allowed the pride that's in your heart to be your own Lord, to keep you from being used of God? If you'll humble yourself and just do what God wants you to, you'll be so glad you did. His way is perfect. His love for you is right. And if God leads you to do anything, it's for your good and your good only. He has a purpose. Stand strong in the Lord. Is Jesus Lord of your life? When's the last time you sought instruction from your master? Stand for the Lord. Stand against the devil. Don't get sucked into the devil's trap that some person is your problem. Be reminded that the devil loves for you to be bitter and angry. He loves it because when you are, you cannot stand. You take your Bibles and go with me to Luke chapter number 22. In Luke chapter number 22, there's a whole lot going on. The disciples have been in the upper room. Jesus is about to be crucified. Jesus has poured out his heart and pictured his coming death at the Last Supper. Something interesting to realize is that there's not great tranquility at the Last Supper. There's just not. They're fussing. Luke chapter 22, verse 24, this is in regards to the disciples of Christ. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. What's going on in the hearts and lives of the disciples? They're fighting with each other. The devil's at work. The devil's there. He entered into Judas just a little while ago. He attended the Last Supper. And they're fussing. The disciples are fussing one with another. Jesus lets the disciples know that he's going to die. Peter boils up with pride. Says, no, you're not. I won't let that happen. He says, I'll go with you even to death. Jesus says in verse 31 to Simon Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Guess what Peter does? The devil's at work. Peter tells Jesus, you're wrong. He didn't make Jesus Lord of his life, did he? So they're fighting one another. Peter is turning his back on Christ. They come and take Jesus. As a matter of fact, they can't take him anywhere. He goes freely. The mob of people, you remember them? Peter pulls out his sword and whacks off Malchus's ear, and this mob of people march Jesus where he'll be tried and crucified. As his trial and his scourging is about to begin, Peter, who just a few hours ago had said, I'll go with you even to death. Peter is following now afar off. Look at him, verse 54. Then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. Where's Peter? Is he bold as a lion now? No, scared of his own shadow. I want you to notice his posture. In these next few verses, Peter's denial is a very famous passage of Scripture. But notice his posture. Where is he? And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. What was Peter's posture? He sat by the fire. Peter had an opportunity to stand up for Jesus. But you know what had happened? He had allowed the devil, his adversary, to move in. There had been a rift between him and Jesus. He had denied Jesus his lordship in his life. He'd even fussed with Jesus and contradicted Christ. He allowed the devil to put a wedge between he and the other disciples. And instead of standing up for Jesus and being used for God and his glory, the devil had put him on the sideline and set him down. Opportunity afforded it 3 times for Peter to stand up for Jesus, to present the truth of what Jesus was doing and who Jesus was. But 3 times Peter missed his opportunity. Why? He wasn't able to stand. Why wasn't he able to stand? It's really simple. He wasn't being strong in the Lord. And he wasn't standing against the devil. Folks, I just want to remind you, God wants to use you. If you'll make Jesus Lord of your life, he can. And if you'll remember, when you start to blame everybody else and allow relationships with people to keep you from being the Christian that you ought to be, if you'll stand against the devil and remember we wrestle not against flesh and blood, you know what will happen? You'll have the opportunity to stand up for Jesus, be counted, be used. Not only will you stand for him and make your life useful, but his indwelling spirit and his fruit will make itself known in your life. I just don't want to be caught in that trap, do you? Oh, it's so easy. I think she's mad at me. I think he's upset with me. I think that they've done me wrong. I think that, or even when you know that people have done you dirty and wrong, we allow that to manipulate our lives and rob our joy and cause us not to be able to stand. The devil can't take your soul, so he's going to do everything he can to make you and render you useless for the cause of Christ. My message to you from the Word of God is stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Some of us, no doubt today, need to repent of our selfishness and our failure to make Jesus the Lord of our lives. And others of us need to repent and acknowledge the fact that we've allowed relationships with other people to keep us from being effective for God and his glory. God's people need to search their hearts and forgive and stand.